This week on the Canadian Tech Podcast, the CRTC now wants to hear from you on the future of TV. SanDisk built an SD card for the North, DeepMind opens another Canadian office, and Canada's privacy laws really need rewriting. That's all next and more on the Canadian Tech Podcast. The Canadian Tech Podcast is sponsored by Olio Digital Labs. Olio are the planners, designers, and developers of the apps used by some of Canada's biggest brands. Find out what Olio can do for you at oliodigitallabs.com. And we're also sponsored by CodeShip, continuous integration and delivery software that lets you ship your apps with confidence. Both CodeShip Basic and CodeShip Pro come with a free plan that grants 100 builds per month, unlimited projects, and unlimited users. Visit CodeShip.com today to find out which CodeShip product is right for you.
Welcome to the Canadian Tech Podcast, episode 136 for Sunday, October 15th, 2017, sponsored by Olio Digital Labs and CodeShip. My name is Stuart Clark.
My name is Derek Silva.
Well, Derek, another week, kind of a short week, come and gone.
It was.
It certainly went by quickly, and those of us in southwestern Ontario know we just had quite the wind event and storm event here, so
yeah, that no was damage.
You said you had a power flicker, but you haven't been outside all day.
Not on a day like today, no. Well, okay, I did go a few times outside to put something in the trash.
Well, that's good. Okay.
That's about it. So I walked around a quarter of my house a few times.
There you go. All right. Well, that's good. That's good. So did you even have pants on? Did you even have pants on today?
Shorts.
All right. There you go. No, I moved bookcases today, so I did a bit more.
Oh, nice. I did a bunch of housework too, but we'll get into that later.
We'll get into that later. Okay, let's get right on to those quick hits.
Let's do it. Google wants you to feel like you are on top of the world, literally. They sent up some poor sap with a backpack and some bunch of cameras up to Kootenaipak National Park in Nunavut. And it's the farthest north the company has ever gone with Google Street View technology. Now, less than 50 people visit the national park every year, but Google thought it was really important to bring this natural beauty to everyone. And so, you can actually visit now Kootenaipak National Park and Grise Fjord in Nunavut on Google Street View. The link in the show notes to Tech Vibes has a link to the at least a few of the portions, like the glaciers and an archaeological campsite as well. So check that out.
Pretty cool.
Lenovo has released the, what are these called? The Tab 4 lineup of Android tablets in Canada. We've got four of them. The Lenovo Tab 4 8, the Lenovo Tab 4 8 Plus, Tab 4 10, and Tab 4 10 Plus. That doesn't sound ridiculous. You can buy them directly now through Lenovo. They are going to be here, in retailers before the holiday season or for the holiday season. The lowest and cheapest one has a 7-inch display, a gig of RAM, 16 gigs of storage, and a 2-megapixel front-facing camera and rear-facing camera. That's actually the Tab 7 Essential. So has five of them. That's only $129.99, or it goes all the way up to the Lenovo Tab 4 10 Plus. It's $399. That comes with a 7,000 milliamp hour battery, 10.1-inch display, Qualcomm Snapdragon 425 quad-core CPU with an Adreno 306 GPU, and then all the other ones fall somewhere in between. They all use the USB Type-C connector for power and connectivity, so that's cool. And if you want to check that out, again, link in the show notes to Mobile Syrup, and I'm sure you can get to Lenovo's website and see them all in more detail. So five new Android tablets on the market. SanDisk has released a new high-speed series of SD cards that will work in extreme climates, or they're also designed to be used in industrial scenarios like surveillance cameras, drones, factory automation, network equipment, etc. Fast read-write times of 50 megabytes per second reading. No, that can't be right. Probably 50 megabytes per second write times, 80 megabytes per second read times. That makes more sense. Which means they're more than capable of high bitrate video streaming, and they're rated to work in between minus 40 degrees Celsius all the way up to 85 degrees Celsius. So that is a large variation that you probably won't find in any one country in the world.
But I can see it for, you know, certain things like surveillance cameras, like stuff designed, the equipment's designed.
Yes, so when you don't know where it's going to go. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, no, I can see that.
Sorry, sipping scotch.
That's all right.
So there were five Northern Ontario communities that got almost $70 million recently for better high-speed internet. And now another six Northwest Ontario communities are going to receive another $4 million for the same reason. Bell is getting the money. They're going to build new fiber optic backbone in the communities of Stratton, Minahiko, Madsen, and the...
Good luck with that.
Okay, Nigigoon Simini Kaning First Nation. Yes!
Well,
oh, and the Anishinaabeg of Neongashing and Kejik. I'm going to skip that next word. Number 39 Independent First Nation.
And we apologize in advance if we skip.
Yes, absolutely. I mean no offense whatsoever. That's just a really long word with a lot of consonants. Bell's also going to be investing themselves an additional $1.3 million to build the backbone network needed to make higher speed internet and greater data capacity in each of these communities. So I'm guessing that's the last mile. And this is all part of the Connect to Innovate program. That's a $500 million fund tasked with improving high speed internet access in rural and remote communities across Canada. Places in Nunavut, Quebec, and Ontario have all gotten funding so far, and I'm sure more is on the way.
Cool.
Last? Almost no, last. Second last. Penultimate. Follow-up from last week, Microsoft has now put the Edge browser beta in the Android Play Store, or Google Play Store, so it's now available for Android globally, by the looks of it, not just US. So if you have a hankering for some Edge on your Android, now you can do that.
Huh.
Lastly...
Yet another standard.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. The folks in Dev London Slack group were thrilled. Sarcasm.
Yeah.
Anyway, lastly, another quick one. Hot on the heels of opening its first international AI lab in Edmonton, DeepMind, which is owned by Google and produced that Go, or that AI capable of beating pretty much every human in the planet at Go. They've opened their second international AI research laboratory in Montreal. And following on this, the federal government also announced that the AI supercluster funding for AI is going to Montreal as well. So I know that there's a lot of momentum in Toronto, but there has been a lot in Montreal as well. And now the feds are getting behind it. So with, I think, Facebook, Samsung, Google, DeepMind... the feds all putting in money in Montreal, that looks like that will certainly be the AI supercluster here in Canada, with, of course, jobs put elsewhere where needed.
Exactly.
And that does it for the quick hits.
All right. And speaking of super things, let's talk about our good friends at Olio.
Olio Digital Labs is one of Canada's most accomplished small market agencies, delivering web apps and mobile apps to businesses across Canada. In an era of persistent connectivity and pervasive mobile devices, it has become more important than ever before for businesses to be everywhere their employees and customers are. That's why Olio provides its clients with the peace of mind only a highly skilled and experienced team can provide. A team that is big enough to support your needs, but flexible enough to work to your constraints. With a client list spanning from the Middlesex London Health Unit and Ellison Travel and Tours, all the way up to College Pro and the Home Depot, the team at Olio has proven itself to be the planners, designers, and builders of the web and mobile apps used by some of Canada's largest brands. Find out what Olio can do for you by calling 226-785-0420 or visit oleodigitallabs.com to learn more. That's Olio Digital Labs, code that powers every day.
And we'd like to thank Olio Digital Labs for continuing to sponsor the Canadian Tech Podcast.
Hey, that would be us.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. Son of a gun. Wait, son they're a sponsor? Oh, Brendan, you're so generous. Thank you.
That's right. What a guy. What a guy. All right, let's move on to...
For he's a jolly good fellow.
All right, is your PA coming up or something?
Yeah.
That would explain
I think we're supposed to have a mid-year one in the fall. So, yeah, coincidentally it is. And I really wasn't thinking about it until now. Thanks for pointing out my incidental butt kissing.
There you go.
Accidental butt kissing.
It was kind of obvious, but that's fine. Okay, let's get on to the stories. A good friend of the show, or at least we like this particular government department quite a bit, our good friends CRTC. They want you to share your views on the future of programming in Canada. So the government has asked the CRTC for a report on, quote, future distribution models for Canadian programming, as well as its continued creation, production, and distribution, end quote. So until the 24th, Canadians can participate. You can fill out an online form. Apparently you can send a fax. Send anyone a fax still? Anyway. Or you can write... Yeah, you can write by snail mail to the Secretary General of the CRTC. So they want these comments to help shape the second phase of the public consultation with further details to be shared at a later date. It's always nice to get input, especially when you've got, quite a bit few things in the landscape changing. You've got, Netflix did a deal with the federal government to invest $500 million in Canadian productions over the next 5 years. Yep. However, just as an aside, I should note, I just got an email from Netflix today. The rate's going up again.
So that's not just us.
All right.
They just actually announced that in the U.S. several weeks ago.
Okay,
and
just want to make sure.
Yes, the Netflix would tell you, and they did, that the timing was a little unfortunate in terms of the, we're investing $500 million to put Canadian productions together over the next 5 years, and like a subsidiary of Netflix called Netflix Canada. Oh, and by the way, your rates are going up by $1 a month.
Oopsie.
That was absolutely accidental. I'm quite confident in that. Can't be sure, but I'm quite confident because I was hearing about it from Americans even before the $500 million investment deal was made, and then we got the $500 million deal investment, and then our prices went up. So it's not just us; it almost certainly was just an issue of bad timing or bad optics on the timing. $13.99, $14.99. It's still all you can eat.
Oh, it is.
I've got Start Internet. Yeah, I've got Start Internet, unlimited traffic.
Yep.
Netflix is unlimited traffic.
Exactly. No, I know. I'm the same. Yeah, we're the same. I'm playing the 10.99. It's going up in our case because we're grandfathered in. It's going up. Ours is going up to 10.99, and that's fine. Like, we still love Netflix.
It's $11 a month. Like, compare that to any cable bill.
With no ads.
Which starts at least 20 with no ads. It's literally, you can watch more TV in less time, and it's cheaper. It's still way cheaper. I think it's really good to see the CRTC looking into this issue and looking for feedback on this issue. I hope every CTP listener goes out and writes something on the online form and maybe sends it to their MP as well. And for me, the big thing right now is faster adoption of IPTV with unbundled, ideally, from an internet connection. I know there's still a licensing and contract thing there. I'm pretty sure with because if Bell licenses CTV to you, they expect you to carry it over a private connection, quote unquote, even though there's no such thing in the internet. But if you're a VMedia TV, IPTV subscriber, you have to have a VMedia internet connection or one of Distributel's other brands like a Canuck or Distributel, or they just bought TNW. Oh, we should have put that in here this week. Anyway, you know, Distributel owns a bunch of brands now.
Yep.
So
yep, exactly.
Yeah, and technically, that's all private pipes. Not really, but you know, you get what where they're coming from. I want to see that unbundled. If Start wants to provide an IPTV service, but for some reason, where I am, maybe I'm out west, I can't get a Start internet connection. Let them get their $20 a month from me anyway, or 30 yes. or 40 or whatever. Like that's not it. That and complete unbundling of all channels completely. I don't want a $20 skinny plan and then add all a la carte, because there's even still channels in there that I don't want in that skinny plan. Mm-hmm. Don't give me the skinny plan. Let me do one at a time, up to like pick 5 and pick 10, right? And give me like a bundle discount then. But let me do pick 5. And if I don't choose a crazy expensive channel like ESPN from the US or HBO Canada, then I should be able to do that within that pick 5 type bundle or pick 7 or whatever. I don't care if it's pick 13. I just want to see things completely unbundled.
Right. No, and I agree. I think it's definitely a time. It does make it a challenging landscape. And again, some of the funding models for some of these smaller channels that are really, you know, micro, you know, very thin topics. But I think we've seen that already when, you know, when's the last time you actually saw a show about learning on the Learning Channel? It's all, you know, it's all.
Well, that's the thing. You know, I used to watch Learning Channel all the time. And I used to enjoy watching like the real life surgery stuff and the nature documentaries and stuff like that.
But obviously, it wasn't paying the bills.
I guess not. But for that reason, I stopped watching TLC. And now it's reality TV, quote unquote, reality TV Central. Last I heard.
Well, and they're all seem to be showing that various things like that, which is why I cut the cable. So,
because I don't want to pay for the same thing over and over again. It's like, you know,
how many different home improvement shows when they go into a house and, you know, flip the house and stuff like that doesn't one need.
Well, and not to be entirely insensitive, but I don't want 2 or 3 French programming channels.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to mandate one into my house, that's fine. Be, you know, TFO or something like that. But I don't need 2 or 3 French channels. Even APTN, which when it started was very much centralized around Aboriginal programming, which I thought was cool. You know, then on Friday and Saturday nights started airing like old blockbuster movies. Like, you know, like Hollywood blockbuster movies, which, from as far as I could tell, did not have a lot of Aboriginal aspects to them. Yeah. So, like, even those sorts of channels, which, of course, are well-intentioned and you could make a good argument, absolutely necessary to exist, you know, get away from their original goal because of profitability. That's fine. You know, I get that. You got to make some money. But a lot of these other channels, they just shouldn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if... Oh, God, what's the one I'm thinking of?
Chicago Blackhawks channel?
Sure. I love the Blackhawks, but they don't need their own TV channel. Leafs TV. Really? Like, it's...
I know.
Even when I was still, like, that's my number one team. Go Leafs. I never saw the appeal. It's like, oh, well, it's just another way for them to carve up the game distribution and make sure you're paying for Leafs TV and the Leafs make more money that way.
Let's watch old games from, you can't even call it the glory days, but yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, unless it's from 67 and or before 67, yeah.
Exactly.
Like, okay, maybe I want to watch a game with Doug Gilmore, Wendell Clark, and Felix Potvin on the ice all at once. Hey, those were fun days.
And I'll still be disappointed.
That ref should have called a penalty on Wayne Gretzky or whatever it was. I don't even remember anymore. Complete unbundling would be ideal. And it might not be the right time yet, but certainly by 2020, 2021, unbundling these over-the-top IPTV services from having to do this dedicated network BS because it's not a dedicated network. So whatever. But yeah, if I want Start TV with Distributel Internet, let me have it.
Yeah, exactly. All right. I think we've beaten that one to death.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on. In our ongoing series about Be Aware of the Internet of Things and Privacy, we have a report from Global News just reminding people that, smart devices can share your private data, but the current privacy laws don't offer much protection. This is from Samuel Treskow, and he's a local professor, if I recall.
Trosal.
He examined security and data collection protocol of an array of various smart devices, combing the fine print and putting them up against Canadian privacy laws. He found that many products have flaws that leave them vulnerable to intrusions, while others may be intentionally, or I'll say unintentionally, stockpiling personal data for marketing purposes. And a lot of times consumers don't realize. Mm-hmm. Now, when we talk about smart devices, we're talking about everything from kitchen appliances, fitness trackers, even sex toys, apparently.
Yeah, there was a court case a couple of years ago. I think a woman from Ottawa figured out that her personal pleasure device was transmitting data about usage, time of use, etc. Like, I think there might have been a gyroscope in there, and therefore angles and that sort of thing back stuff to the like manufacturer. Data, and she's like, whoa, I did not opt in for this. And not to mention, this is clearly a very personal device. I do not want this data being shared. I'm pretty sure she sued and she won. But anyway.
Yeah. Well, and what he's saying the report's calling on Canada's Privacy Commissioner to proactively update these laws. Got to bring them up to speed.
I would agree.
Now, he's worried, of course, like anything else, that's going to take quite a while, a lot of money. But I think it's an important thing. Other countries are looking into this as well. But we need to, you need to be aware of what these devices like. Yeah, when I'm out there with my fitness tracker or, a check-in program or whatever, I realize that sometimes, this data is going somewhere and it can be collected. But you've got to be aware. And if you wanted to do that, that's great. Because, sometimes it's like, when Gmail was first free, that's what they were, they were using it. They have the advertising. It's the price we pay. But you need to certainly be aware of this. Any other thoughts on this?
Okay. I will say, if you go read the article, the Internet of Things is not a system for connecting physical electronic devices. Mm-hmm. The Internet of Things is a buzzword or a buzz term designed to help evoke the idea that all the things in your house can connect to the internet, or at least to each other, somehow. It's not a system. It's a catch-all term for those things and the wireless connectivity technologies they use to exchange data. Let's be clear about that. IoT is just a buzzword, just like cloud or not instant messaging. Instant messaging. It's just it's just a word. It doesn't actually describe anything specifically. Anyway, beyond that, yes, data privacy laws absolutely do need to be updated. I don't know who would be the one going after them. I guess maybe Danielle Therrien, the Canadian Privacy Commissioner, should be the one actually going after any companies who are allowing their products to be imported into the country and then sold to Canadians, right? Like if Amazon's got, I was going to say a connected vibrator. Let's stay away from that. an LG refrigerator, right? On their site, you buy it from Amazon. Regardless of the fact that LG is a Korean company, and that the device was sold to you by a Canadian company with American headquarters, that product should come under Canadian data privacy laws. The privacy commissioner has come down really hard on Facebook in recent years and I think on Google as well. There's no reason why it can't dive in to this world here. Especially even if you just need to start with the bigger players, because a lot of them get their components from the same OEMs.
Right.
And, you know, whether it's network, like the actual Wi-Fi chips or Bluetooth chips or motherboards or that sort of thing. The software will vary, obviously. But anyway, and just making sure that that the Canadian version of their EULA and the Canadian privacy policy, it works here and it follows the law here. And if we need to make updates just to be realistic about the way these things work and the way the companies want to collect data and hopefully turn that data into something helpful for you, that's fine. But back and forth, a two-way street here is totally fine with me. But we have privacy laws for a reason. And ultimately, if these companies can't work with Canadian privacy law or send their lobbyists to Parliament Hill in order to make some rational pitches for rational changes, well, then, you know, buck up and make it work. Like this, we can't just ignore the issue.
No.
Neither exactly. side can.
No, because we're going to see more and more of these devices going forward. So we have to have, have the personal control to be able to decide what data these devices are sending. So excellent. All right. Moving on. Amazon. Amazon Canada or Amazon the US. Amazon
Worldwide. QNX.
Did I miss QNX? Sorry.
They're so BlackBerry so forgettable.
It's so forgettable.
This is cool, but the video is so forgettable skipped right over it.
Yeah. So what happened was BlackBerry QNX, their official Twitter news channel, tweeted out Periscope video, which we chuckle at ourselves in Landscape 2, in which a gray Lincoln MKZ is seen driving around a corner on a road lined with spectators. As it gets nearer, the person in the driver holds both hands up in the air. So the car is under autonomous control. It carried the mayor of Ottawa and a counselor and the general manager of BlackBerry QNX. There was no audio, which didn't help.
Yeah.
It was it was a little bit like amateur, I hate to tell you.
Really was.
They got to do a little bit better for that. But I guess they're really excited because this is the first time it was on an actual road. It wasn't a parking lot. So it was a heavily controlled environment. So I don't really say you can truly say it's on a public road.
Yes, well, there was a street light there, right? It stopped at a red light.
Yeah.
It waited. It went on the green, so seemingly that worked. But this really was the most amateur, low-key, anticlimactic unveil video they could have done. Like, this was... Man, if somebody had given me the probably a BlackBerry device that they used to record this, I could have done a way better job. Add a little bit of video, add the audio, hold up a clap sign, get some people to cheer. No, none of that. It's just very boring.
It's one of those things that someone said, oh, maybe we should get a video of this. Oh, crap, who's got a phone in Paris?
Yeah.
That's almost what it was like. All right, so there we go. That's about the much attention we're gonna give to it. Now on to Amazon Canada. Amazon Canada, they're ramping up their online grocery battle because ever since Amazon bought Whole Foods, they're discounting a lot of this Whole Foods. Have you ever been to a Whole Foods in Toronto? I never have.
Once?
Okay. Is it all what they say?
Product selection-wise, yes.
Mm-hmm.
It was wonderful. They had a little cafeteria there. I was waiting for a prospective customer to meet with me. And I had a couple of cups of tea and this one particular tea. I can't remember the brand name now, but it was phenomenal. And the issue is that it's incredibly expensive.
I'm looking here at their house brand. Organic peanut butter and cocoa balls in a cereal. $6.
How big's the box?
I need 10 ounces.
Wow. Wait, yeah. Hang on. Convert ounces. You're seeing it live here, folks. Convert ounces to grams. Oh, $6 for 283 grams? Yeah. Wow. I can usually get double that for $6.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's organic. The issue. Oh, so?
I know. I'm just.
But does
I'm
it taste good?
I think that's the more expensive one. They do have organic morning oat, 14 ounce for $4.99. But anyway.
That's a little bit more reasonable.
Yeah. But what we're talking about is, they're really keying up to this with the whole groceries things. Basically, they're saying on their website, they're giving Canadians another option to purchase everyday items, baby care, beans, grains, rice, nuts, pasta, snacks, for fast delivery and offering deep discounts, particularly to Prime members.
Mm-hmm.
I did
notice this the other day because I did hit up Amazon to buy something else. I'm just going to hit up there now. And I did notice a big banner for Whole Foods. And I was like, oh, okay, mm-hmm. sure. Yeah, I'll take a look at this because I accidentally purchased Amazon Prime for the year. So I thought.
I hate when that happens.
Oh, you have no idea. So I thought, yeah, sure, why not? Let's take a look. And of course, now I'm looking shop by department, home, kitchens, and pets. Is that it? Home decor? No, what?
It might be. Well, food? You signed it in your Prime account.
Yep. Boutique francophone. No.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. See. So
store directory. It shows up sometimes. Though. I think they're running a lot of A/B tests.
Well, but. I'm a Prime health subscriber.
Health grocery, Whole Foods Market.
Where the heck is that?
I asked for the full store directory. And it's in the middle there. Under health, beauty, and grocery. Third column in.
Health, see, beauty, grocery. Oh, okay. Whole Foods Market. Yeah, food. That is way too hard to find. That's ridiculous. Like,
but I've
guys,
seen
it.
But I agree. I've seen it on the top banner when I just go in. So that's what I'm saying there.
Yeah. So you know, I could get 365 everyday value shells and Alfredo, 7 ounce box, for out of stock. I think the boxes of this is essentially mac and cheese. I'm pretty sure this was $4 the other day when I was looking at it. I was like, there we go. Everyday value macaroni and cheese, $2.39. Not. Bad. I can get the our compliments for 75 cents.
Okay, so. Now, but never mind that. You realize they now have Hershey Halloween chocolate assortment.
They have what?
They have the Halloween chocolate you give out of the door. Hershey. You can buy like the 125 count of chocolate.
Halloween chocolate.
Reese's and Hershey's Halloween chocolate assortment.
Oh,
see, this is the dangerous part. Because
these are good prices.
Yeah, there's a whole thing where we talk about, how early do you bring in the Halloween chocolate to make sure you don't eat it?
Well, I never know whether I'm supposed to bring it or not because we usually hang out at my in-laws for the night.
Mm-hmm.
And they're usually like, oh, we'll hand out the chocolate. And it's like, okay, but should I not be a jerk and bring some chocolate on my behalf for you to hang out or hand out? Like,
well, you should buy some. And then when they say, no, it's okay, you take it home, you got chocolate.
I'll just eat all the Hershey Halloween spooky shapes, 80 count, by myself. That's all. No big deal.
There you go. But the whole idea, see, this is exactly what we're talking about. See? Amazon's trying to compete, like, especially with Walmart, because Walmart just recently dropped their, I think it was $2.39 fee.
Yes. It was $2.97.
So they recently dropped that because, again, more and more, and, Loblaws does this. I can certainly see it's not for everyone, but I can certainly see a lot of people, particularly if you're pressed for time and if you're buying staples and stuff like that, the standard stuff, sometimes it's worth having someone else do the shopping and you go to the market or whatever.
Absolutely.
I also know some people I found out recently that they'll do it to buy like the heavier products, like the big things of laundry soap or kitty litter or stuff like that. Because again, someone delivers it to you.
Right.
So you only got to get it from the front door. And if it's roughly the same price or if it's worth for you to do that or you're not able to, it's tough to lift it long distances, people people will do that. So
yeah, I hear you. I'm really waiting for, well, so the West End Superstore here in London still doesn't have click and collect. Right. The other three stores in London do.
Right.
The other Superstore, the two Loblaws all do.
For some reason,
the West End Superstore does not. Yep. So I'm really hoping that comes soon. But otherwise, yeah, the next step for me is deliver everything. I don't need to be home for most of this stuff.
Well, you know what? And like, for example, we drink a lot of a particular type of Loblaw of President's Choice Pop. And like, I had to go tonight to get some. And it's just a pain in the ass to get. And sometimes they have it. Sometimes they don't. Yeah. So yeah, the ability, if they were to do that, hey, no problem at all. You know, there's still a lot of people that want to pick their own vegetables or their meat.
And oh, yeah, absolutely.
I'm
not letting meat stay outside all day.
Yeah, but I can certainly see people, you know, going for this, particularly if, you know, they can give you a delivery window. So if you have frozen stuff and stuff like that, your home or whatever. Yeah.
Or deliver to me at work.
Yeah, there you go. As long as you got room in the Oleo Labs fridge.
We do.
And freezer. I know, but as long as people go, you know, all of a sudden your boss goes, ooh, you got the good ice cream today.
So there's a separate shelves for lunch and company stuff, company bought stuff.
That's good. So, all right. So you do well. So yeah. So anyway, watch this space. I think you're going to see the more competition heating up here.
Probably
as we use more and more. Yeah. Exactly. Okay. And last story. This is your story. So I'm going to let you roll with this.
Yeah. So I'm not going to read over the Tech Vibes article too much. Basically, Wednesday and Thursday, I spent at the live stream in London of the event in Toronto called the Singularity U Canada Summit. Singularity University is an organization founded by Ray Kurzweil, famous for books like The Singularity Is Near, the singularity being the day where we can all, if we choose, upload our consciousnesses to the cloud and be one with the computers in the world. I'm not really looking forward to that day. I think I'm going to opt out. But but everything happening between now and then, I wanted to get a better handle on from the people who are actually doing those things. Because Lord knows I'm not. I'm dumber than a rock compared to some of these people. So, Wednesday morning... one really nice thing was that a lot of the people like who chair Singularity University subjects, topics, etc., they're actually there in Toronto. So that was nice. This wasn't an event that was like, it's not like a TEDx thing. It was like the actual people running the organization, minus Ray Kurzweil, were there. Peter Diamandis, who's the other co-founder, he did the keynote Wednesday morning. His big thing was like a big overview of where we've been, where we are, where we're going, where we've been, where we are, where we're going, in a bunch of different subjects. And then asking, you know, like, well, like, what's your moonshot? Like, you know, what's the crazy idea you think you have for your company or for your industry or for this problem in the next 25 years?
Okay.
You go to a Singularity University program for a week or two, these are the types of people who are going to help you hammer out how you get there. So there was a bit of a pitch for all their paid programs. That's fine. I get that. It's a conference after all.
Yep.
He also unveiled a 2017 X Prize that'll be tackling Alzheimer's. I found this pretty incredible. The person who's going to be judging that X Prize is a 20-something Canadian pasty white kid who is brilliant, and he's so smart that the Singularity University and the XPRIZE Foundation pulled this kid out of finishing school because they needed him working on these issues now and judging this XPRIZE. So that was unveiled. That was really cool. And overall, like what I found really, really interesting was that because it was held in Canada, in Toronto specifically, a lot of the talk was about, like, okay, here's this technology, here's Canada's place in it right now, and here's where we can lead in the future or continue leading in the future. Blockchain, of course, was a big subject because of decentralized record keeping, essentially, and cryptocurrencies as well. AI, of course, came up on day two, a little bit on day one, a little bit on day two, on the Thursday, depended on the topic. But of course, there is a perceived lead by Canada in AI, and we don't really know what the Chinese are doing, but, you know, unless they are light years ahead of us for some reason, that perceived leadership is definitely happening. Further evidence by the news we covered tonight.
Right.
And, you know, but making sure we don't rest on our laurels and you know, keep moving towards, you know, actually putting something out in the field and commercializing it, something Canadian research is not typically very good at, commercializing the technology and actually making money at it. And manufacturing, of course. And then what I really liked was that the afternoon on day two was all about the business models and the effects on the populace of all these exponential changes that are happening, whether it's automation, whether it's AI, whether and the underlying machine learning and neural natural language processing that goes into AI, and overall the reduction of work and you know, where does that lead us, and a little bit of consensus around universal basic income. Privacy was a big one, I just remembered. Anne Kavoukian, who used to be the Ontario Privacy Commissioner, she was on a panel with a couple of other folks, a Israeli military security professional, IT security professional, and some other dude sitting between them. And so that was quite the passionate debate, because Anne Kavoukian, very hardline, like, we deserve our privacy. Privacy breeds freedom. She is the woman responsible for the whole tenet around privacy by design. And that was her work at the Ontario government that started that movement. And then, of course, you have this military guy who's like, you don't really need that much privacy. It doesn't really breed freedom. You know, we need to be able to read this stuff. And she's like, yeah, that's fine, as long as you have a warrant. And of course, he's on the the NSA or the FBI should be able to unlock a phone whenever they need to type stance. So that was a thought. Almost certainly. So it was a really, really interesting 2 days. The Wednesday morning started off a little slow, and I was like, oh God, this sounds like it's going to be all the same stuff, because I do pay a lot of attention to this stuff, whether it's for the podcast or my own personal interest. I started thinking, like, oh God, this is going to be like same thing over and over again. But thankfully it wasn't. The afternoon sessions on Wednesday were really, really good. I took so many pictures. I live tweeted as much as I could. But of course, every time I'm tweeting, I'm not paying attention to the next thing. So I asked, on Twitter, I gotta, you know, reach out directly if they don't respond, but whether or not the videos of these talks and panels were going to be available after the fact, because there were just so much going on,
so, like, much information.
I'm still trying to digest even some of this. The pictures I took of, you know, people's slides and a couple of videos. But basically the overall message was, wow, life and our planet as a result has really changed over the last 100 years, 50 years, 10 years, and you ain't seen nothing yet. Like, if you're feeling overwhelmed now with all the change in the last 15, 20 years, boy, your head is gonna frickin' spin over the next 5 to 10, and even further beyond that, because everything that has changed in the next little bit is gonna keep changing, and it's gonna change even faster than it has been.
Right.
I'm like, man, I'm 33, and I can barely handle the pace of change now.
Hey, I'm 50. I know that feeling.
Yeah.
Alrighty.
So if you're overwhelmed right now, you're screwed. What yeah. was really yeah. the takeaway ultimately, like, and you're going to probably need to learn to code.
Right. Exactly. So there you go. All right. And you were saying everyone should learn to code. Speaking of coding, have a word from our good friends at CodeShip.
CodeShip is a SaaS-delivered continuous integration and delivery solution that lets you ship your apps with confidence. We just heard from Jameson last week that he is actually a big fan of CodeShip, so that's great. Mm-hmm. So, of course, you can choose between CodeShip Basic or CodeShip Pro. The basic service is a simple testing and deployment service, has pre-installed continuous integration dependencies that works right out of the box. The average setup time is less than 3 minutes, or you can try CodeShip Pro. CodeShip Pro is a fully customizable CI and delivery service. It has native Docker support. It is much easier to use than Jenkins or Travis. It makes it really easy to test and deploy your microservices. You can push to any registry. It's also perfect if you want to deploy with Kubernetes, and it comes with a convenient local command line tool that allows you to run your builds locally. It helps encrypt your environment variables, and they guarantee 100% parity between your development and your production environments. Obviously, that's key because you don't want your environment file to necessarily get to your production environment, because then it would be pointing at the wrong database, and that's
not good.
I hate
it when that happens.
Right?
Never. Right.
Anyway, both CodeShip Basic and CodeShip Pro come with a free plan that grants 100 builds per month. You get unlimited projects and unlimited users, and open source projects are always free on CodeShip. So you should visit CodeShip.com today, or you can check out CodeShip.com/features to find out which CodeShip product is the best fit for you, your team, and your projects.
Awesome. And we'd like to thank CodeShip, of course, for their ongoing support of the Canadian Tech Podcast. So we're going to turn on to the stuff we like. Hey, I have a stuff we like this week. I even had it early.
Hey, look at that.
Hey. Well, you know, I've been hanging around, you know, our good stories from. They're a good thing.
So they have our good friends at Mobile Syrup, you cut out there.
Yes, our good friends at Mobile Syrup.
Yeah.
So I got a great deal. They have a little consumer side of things. They have 3 certified 10-foot lightning cables for $20. Now, that is $20 US, but still, for 3 10-foot cables, because I know we have, in this household, we have a couple of lightning devices, and it's almost like we're trying to find a cable, or a cable that's long enough. So
yeah.
My wife charges her phone in the bed, and she'll oftentimes watch stuff in that there. And the one cable we have, it's just not quite that right length. It's annoying.
Yeah.
And there's times where I'm swapping cables, and I discovered I had one lightning cable, and it must have been a knockoff, but I use it on my bedside table just to charge from a power supply, so from a plug right into the iPhone. But if I use that same cable and I plug it into my Mac, it reboots my Mac. That's not good.
Weird.
No, that's weird. Exactly. So I want to get rid of that. So yeah, this was a good deal. A couple of bucks for shipping. So it should be here any day now. So I'll let people know. So yeah, once in a while, you know, it looks like all sorts of neat little things they have. So it might be worth checking out. So Mobile Syrup deals, and I put the link to the cables. They're still on sale as of the time we are recording this.
Terrific. Cool.
And what have you got?
I've got a little app I heard about on the new screensavers this week called Rainforest Connection. There's a Android and an iOS version. Rainforest Connection as an organization is trying to empower locals that actually live in rainforest type areas, like in Brazil mm-hmm. and Indonesia and places like that, to build kind of like a surveillance device that actually sits out in the rainforest and uses AI to listen for chainsaws and trucks and that sort of thing, so that to help identify illegal logging. So where illegal logging could be detected, and it probably is happening because obviously these are put up in the appropriate areas. Somebody local, like a Tembe warrior in Brazil, is notified via cell phone, because crazily there is actually good cell phone connectivity in these places, and a couple people will, like, take off on a motorcycle or a dirt bike and encounter the illegal loggers and chase them off. So that's pretty cool. And you can, of course, chainsaws are super loud, you know, dump truck where it doesn't belong, quite noticeable. Yeah. And because they've got like a 2007 era or 2009 era smartphone out there with using a bunch of extra pieces from solar panel module manufacturers in places like China. So these are actually like high-end solar panel modules. They put them together, like they'll have somebody, like, you know, like a, they had a, like a 9-year-old kid in Indonesia put one together for you know, near his house. And they also take like 360 degree videos of some of these places. And so you can actually go into the app, launch the 360 degree video. It's not really video. It's more like a still shot, but with live audio, not live audio, with recorded audio. And you can actually get a view from a tree 5-6 meters up in the air in the Brazilian rainforest or in the Carpathian Mountains in Romania and actually see like what it's actually like there. When they took that that still photo and paired it with the audio of that time period. So that was really, really cool. And so I looked at it with that free VR headset I got earlier this year from that Canadian company. Can't remember their name now. And then I gave it to my 8-year-old and he thought it was pretty cool too. So if you want to get a decent idea of what it's actually like in one of these places for a snapshot moment in time, then go check out Rainforest Connection. And I imagine if you support the cause, they'll happily take your money to help put more of these things together and help protect more rainforests.
Cool.
Yeah.
Alrighty. So, what we're up to lately? I'm still in the job hunt. I didn't get time to do. We had two new bookcases came in for my mom's because she's moving within the park she's in.
Oh, okay.
Yep, coming up. Well, she's not moving until April. The new unit comes, but she's going to. She sold the old place, so she's living in another place while the other people are down in the States for winter. So she's going to be out by November. Yeah. So we picked up some of that today. Dodged my friend and I. We dodged all the rain and all that. Got it stowed in her pickup truck and did all that. So that was good. I also did a speech this week. So I brought greetings from the London Public Library to the Nature London plaque unveiling. They're a local group in town that's been around for 153 years, supporting nature and stuff like that in the city. So the Historic Sites Committee did a plaque unveiling out by the gardens here, where they have some and that just around the short speech and good. I have to thank Ellen from the library who really put a lot of it together. So here's something like that.
You're cutting out
so
here.
It's always better if everyone's smarter than you. You know, it works well. So yeah, I've been doing that. And then, just kind of getting the house slowly but surely ready for winter and stuff like that. So that's what's happening with me. What about with you?
Well, my Estonia e-residency card has arrived. So I need to go pick it up at some point.
And where do you have to go and pick it up?
Not in London. Much further away. But I do need to do that. I don't know why. Well, okay. So I really toyed around with cryptocurrency a few years ago. I tried joining a Bitcoin mining pool and then a Litecoin mining pool and then a Feathercoin mining pool. And for some reason, none of them really seemed to work out, whether it was because I was running Windows or what, I don't know. And more maybe because I had a bad, you know, a really old GPU, but either way, I kind of give up on it. And then all of a sudden Bitcoin's like, pew, $5,000. And so, and of course, the tech has really changed since then, and so I finally figured out how to get into cryptocurrency mining without blowing my hydro bill out of proportion. And so I was listening to Kevin Rose's to the Kevin Rose show, and he was talking about a company called Genesis Mining, where he's basically renting hashing power to generate. I'm not sure if he was doing Bitcoin or Ether or Litecoin, but I decided to do something similar with a company called Hashflare that came pretty well recommended, and I'm going to be going after Zcash.
Cool.
That cryptocurrency. So they will pay me, I think it's daily, pardon me, in Zcash to my Zcash wallet, which so I have. Sorry, go ahead.
So if I see you roll up in a Porsche, I know it's.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon. I'm literally spending like $4 a month US.
Okay.
So about $5 a month, which should potentially generate like $10 or $15 a month. And if that works out, yeah, I'll ramp it up because obviously that's worth it. Yeah, I'm going to try that out for a little bit and hopefully it works out well. And, you know, as long as I'm spending $5 and I'm making $7 or $8 or something like that, like I'm getting back more than what I've put in, after a couple months, I'll be happy. That's fine. One of my dad's coworkers, I think he signed up for the free trial of the DAZN streaming service, which you did talk about a little while ago. And my dad's like, hey, you know, he wants people to try it. You want the username and password? I'm like, yes, I want the username and password. Free NFL games. Yay. And so I didn't remember until like the fourth quarter today when the Saints were playing the Lions, New Orleans Saints against Detroit Lions and NFL were playing. So I was like, ooh, I've got DAZN. I'm going to load it up. Wow. Like the clarity on, I don't know if it's the NFL's own cameras or if it's the stadium cameras or if it's Fox's cameras. I don't know who owns these cameras, but at times it was so clear and so good. I thought I was watching a movie about football.
Okay.
Like it was that sort of feel in a good way. So DAZN on wireless while the kids were watching YouTube, I'm pretty sure. YouTube or Netflix, they were watching something on a tablet and walking around the house, on my Google Pixel, it looked so good. The only major bummer right now is there's no Roku app, at least not here in Canada, but man, it looks good on my phone. And it was a crazy game. Like the last quarter was ridiculous. Interceptions, fumbles, recoveries, more interceptions. The Lions scored like 28 unanswered points after the Saints took a commanding lead. Thank goodness the Saints intercepted a throw within the end zone and so scored right away, obviously. And so it was an exciting game. But I'm certainly not using it enough to justify $20 a month. But that one video,
cool,
very very clear, very nice. Potential. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and so I also watched the highlights of a J-League soccer game, J-League being Japanese league, and the highlights of Roma against Napoli, Italian soccer game. So the full games were available, but obviously I didn't have time to watch two extra soccer games today between everything else. But yeah, everything, it's working. I know they had some issues last month when they launched, but... today it was rock solid.
Excellent. So hopefully they solve those issues.
Yeah, so the free trial is going great. I'm not paying for it, so that's awesome. And otherwise I did a bunch of sorting, purging, laundry, etc. this weekend. So it's been busy, but it's been a good weekend.
Excellent.
Oh, okay. Oh. My oldest had his first hockey game on Thursday.
Oh yeah.
And they won 7-1.
Excellent.
Against the Lucan Irish. He did well. Before this year, he hasn't played in like 2 years. So it's like we're expecting some learning curve and ramp up time and all that. But we're working with him. He had a practice yesterday. He went skating today as well, public skating. We've got fake ice down here in the basement. So,
That's right, yes.
Yeah, so everything put together, and he's still loving it. Everything put together, he's really coming along.
Awesome. Well, good for him. We're gonna keep an eye on that.
Yeah,
definitely. Okay. So as you, a bunch of stuff we couldn't cover, so that's under noteworthy news.
Yeah.
In the show notes, and I think that's about it. Anything else? Anything else you can feel we need to add?
No. I will say, out of the noteworthy news, UBC and Huawei working together is kind of cool. The open source API for software supply chains, that's pretty cool too. So if you're interested in that, check that out. Online app from BC for tenants and landlords to resolve issues. And the company called Nuco from Toronto I think they're from Toronto, to getting some funding to build an interoperable blockchain network. You should check that out as well.
Alrighty. So don't forget to review us on, we got more iTunes, Play, TuneIn, Spreaker, Stitcher, Player FM, iHeart.com, or wherever else you get your podcast. Don't forget to like us on Facebook or share us on Facebook. We're also on Twitter, or even go old school and tell a friend. We always like hearing feedback. So send us an email to contact@canadiantechpodcast.ca. So for episode 136, my name is Stuart Clark.
I'm Derek Exponential Silva.
Thank you, and be well.